Order, Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joe Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ronald Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff, Richard Marsh, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Carrie Bagley, Interim Finance Director, Andy Heratic, Public Works Director, Albert Chavez, Police Chief, Mark Berlinet, Fire Chief, Lori Owen, City Attorney.
Thank you very much. For the invocation, we're honored tonight to have Ms. Terry Nudy.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. If you'd like to pray with me, you may. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this city. I thank you, Father, for all the hardworking, dedicated people that are here, that want the best for this city and that are working diligently to see that things improve each day. I thank you for each and every one of them. I thank you for the people that are doing double and triple time, Father God, just to make ends meet here and to see that everything that needs to get done does get done. Father, I ask you to bless this city. Give our council and mayor clear thinking in all matters, Father, that they can continue to make good decisions for this city. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ms. Terry Nudy. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have one announcement to make tonight, and I'm going to defer to Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
Thank you, Mayor. Last week, our city suffered a terrible loss. Retired Police Chief Jim Elkins passed away unexpectedly. Chief Elkins retired 2.5 years ago after a long and distinguished career of 40 years with the City of Bisbee and was in fact the longest-serving police chief in Arizona. Services were held Saturday at Bisbee High School, and the auditorium was filled to capacity. And everybody shared just what Chief meant to them. And I know we all have our stories, and some of them we can't share in a public setting, and some we can. And I'm sure we're going to be swapping our stories about Chief for many years to come. It was hard to say goodbye to him when he retired. It was much harder this past week. But I'm very happy to say that the last visit that we had while he was in the hospital was a very good one, and we shared a lot of laughs, and I'm very grateful for that. But I would like to thank the following agencies and organizations for their help with the memorial service for Chief Elkins. Of course, Bisbee Police Department, Bisbee Fire Department, Cochise County Sheriff's Office, Arizona Department of Public Safety, Arizona Department of Corrections, U.S. Customs, U.S. Border Patrol, Douglas Police Department, Sierra Vista Police Department, Arizona Rangers Bisbee Company, Tucson Police Department, Safford Police Department, and a big thank you to the Bisbee Unified School District for the use of the facilities, and Mike Asira for making sure that everything was in tip-top shape and we had access to everything, and we are very grateful for that. Ryan Bruce, KBRP, Trish Smalley, CCSO, Honor Guard, Sergeant Giannis Papi, Bisbee Police Department, Honor Guard, Laura Swan, Bisbee Observer, and of course Chief Ichabe was a great help to the family, and it's very, very appreciated. Jim was a true gentleman with a heart of gold, and it was an honor and a privilege to call Jim a friend, and to say that I will miss my friend is an understatement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Next, we are going to go to call to the public. We have a few people signed up. We'll start off with Mr. Peter Van Glunlock, former council member Van Glunlock.
Mayor and council, citizens of Bisbee, on last weekend, this last Sunday, I went up to the pool on suggestion by Tom Coble and Mike Turan, and I was absolutely amazed how clean and how blue and how ideal the water looked. I mean, I was very much tempted to jump in right at that point. It was really a great job that they did, and they've been working diligently to make sure that the pool follows as many of the safety guidelines as well as the sanitation guidelines and functioning guidelines as possible with the limited funds that we have at the moment. So again, I want to thank all of these people and recognize them for the work that they've done so far. The other thing is I've felt that there was an awful lot of drama in the last few weeks, and I just was wondering if this wouldn't be an ideal time for the city to request an audit from the state, simply because it's free, and also we haven't had one, and there have been some discussions as to numbers and entries and everything else, and at this point everything seems to have calmed down, and I think it might be a good time with the new city manager for us to have a benchmark or a milepost to work from, and that way we can compare and improve over the days and over the next year or so. Just a suggestion, but I think it would be extremely good to have at this point. It doesn't cost anything, and they'll give you a complete forensic breakdown of everything that's going on here. Thank you.
Thank you, former council member Peter Van Glunlock. Next, let's go to Terry Nudy.
Mayor and council, I wanted to come and just thank you for the movies. I should have sent a card or something long ago, but it is such a delight to have something in this city for the kids and old people to go and sit in the park and watch the movies. It's one of the few things that you guys do where there's not liquor, and it's just family friendly, and it's just, the nights are beautiful, and they keep the yard, the grounds out there so nice. And so I've enjoyed that over and over, and I always think afterwards, I got to send a card tomorrow, and as you know, I never have. So I thought I would take this opportunity to thank you for that. And the Coronados, both of them, are out there, you know, doing everything they can just to be helpful. And the police were out there before. I haven't seen you the last couple times with the popcorn and all that. And it's just a wonderful thing, and it's a good thing to do in this city. I hope that you'll continue it. And the other thing I wanted to say is I was fortunate to attend the Meet the City Manager meeting, and that's a wonderful thing too. It's so nice to have access to our new city manager and to hear what he's thinking about for the city and the way that he's proceeding with things. I really appreciated you doing that, Mr. Marsh.
Thank
so
you.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry Nudy. Next, let's go to Council Member-elect Mr. Bill Higgins.
I'd like to thank Gene Connors for his years of service, not only to Ward 1, but the Bisbee community at large. I'm happy that Gene will continue to be my representative until his term ends in December. I'm also happy that he's joined the annals of history, the halls of infamy in Tombstone, Arizona. I'm sure you've all heard about the shootout at the OK Corral, but how many of you heard about the piss-off at the Circle K? Love you madly, Gene.
Thank you, Councilmember-elect Bill Higgins. Next, let's go to Donna Pulling.
Thank you, Mayor.
I've timed this, and it's going to take 4 minutes, so I'm asking for your
I used to be able to do that, but some people objected, and I've got to keep it at 3 minutes.
I'll try to keep
we
it.
Haven't started the clock yet because I'm talking.
Thank you very
Talk
much.
Talk fast.
Okay. First of all, I need to say the views and opinions expressed here are my own, although influenced heavily by programming on KBRP radio. I know that sounds odd, but for a week I've been disturbed by Mr. Marsh's rash action in the first few weeks of his six-month probationary period. I spoke with others whom you already know had publicly expressed concerns 8 weeks ago about hiring Mr. Marsh and requested delaying hiring at that time. That public sentiment still stands. Unfortunately, there is a sense of futility among the citizenry that their opinions and concerns, when expressed in overwhelming numbers, are discounted, and therefore it's useless to try. I disagree. I believe now more than ever it's our duty to speak. Rather than remain silent and throw up our hands in resignation, it's important to keep the focus on the very issues and concerns that have thus far proven themselves to be true. Two of the three people that spoke in favor of hiring Mr. Marsh have already changed their opinions based on personal experience, the first being Sharon Bono and the second being Peter Van Gunlach. I have an email from Peter that I will not read that he wrote to me after the meet and greet that the city manager had, which changed his opinion, and he declares the lack of credibility to Mr. Marsh in this email. And I've read the correspondence between the finance director and Mr. Marsh, which are public record now. They're open to the public anyway. They've been made public prior to her being fired, including negative statements made by him about the previous city manager and the faulty 2016-17 budget unanimously approved by this council in July. I respectfully suggest that this council take action to protect the city from further damage and potential legal action by terminating Mr. Marsh during this probationary period with cause. I hereby request this item be placed on the agenda with the next three council sessions to include the following issues. Number one, the abrupt firing of the finance director just before the annual audit. Number two, assigning himself the only accountant in finance with no personal experience as his personal secretary and head of personnel during an announced firing freeze. Number three, criticism of the 2016-17 budget. Thank you. For 5 years, this council endorsed and praised Sharon Bono for her professionalism, performance, and commitment to the city as finance director. Now it is incumbent upon you to stand behind her and take action. Thank you.
Thank you, Donald Pulling. Next, we have Maggie Kuhanik.
Thank you, Mayor and Council people, and everyone in Bisbee that's listening. I'm here because I thought that fluoride would be on the agenda this week, and it didn't get on the agenda. So I'm here to speak about fluoride. I think the council needs to address the issue of how fluoride has been added to the water for the last 25 years. And now we know it to be actually a toxin and a poison. So I'd like to read what's on the bag of fluoride. It's from Univar. It's their MSDS, and I have copies I can give to the council members. But it says under chronic exposure, of course, Univar wants to be liability-free, so they print this stuff on their bag that we dump in the water. Chronic exposure may cause mottling of teeth. That's fluorosis. I don't want that. I don't want it on my kids. It also, bone damage. A lot of people I know have bone damage. And symptoms of fluorosis include brittle bones, which is inside of our bodies. We don't need that. Even if they're saying that it's just your teeth, it's not. It's your entire body structure that's being influenced by the fluoride that we are adding to the water. So it also can create weight loss, anemia, calcified ligaments, and general ill health and joint stiffness. It also says it's an aggravation of pre-existing conditions. Populations that appear to be at increased risk from the effects of fluoride are individuals that suffer from diabetes or some part of renal impairment. It has to do with the kidneys. So we need to look at fluoride. We need to look at it. The council needs to do their due diligence to research it and find out what I found out about fluoride. It's not good for us. And when it happened 25 years ago that the council here decided to add fluoride to the water, they also thought it was great to have lead in paint and in gasoline. They also thought it was great to have asbestos to protect, you know, our houses. And, you know, you could probably name a whole bunch of things that used to be good. And now I think we're battling too many chemicals on this planet. And that's why I see people that are suffering from lots of diseases, especially joint diseases. And, oh, it's not supposed to be given to children. Any infants are not supposed to be getting fluoride. And neither are you if you're pregnant. So if we don't provide filters to take the fluoride out, then how can we be delivering to them a poison that's going to be a detriment to their health? So please, please, please look at that. Please put it on the agenda so we can discuss it as a community and have the chance of taking this poison out of our water. Thank you.
Thank you, Maggie Kohanic. Next we have Andrew Laws.
No, Mayor and Council. I'm here to also talk about the fluoride. I thought it would be on the agenda tonight. And to support Maggie and her efforts, I know she's been at this a while, and she deserves a lot more support. So I sent all of you an email, so I assume you got it. I'd like to hear maybe some confirmation of that, if anybody actually read it or glanced at it. I wouldn't expect you to read every word
Council's
in this huge thing.
I'm not allowed to respond to your comments, sir.
Okay, well, I saw some nodding. I appreciate that. And the one person I didn't get an email, I brought a copy. So that's from the a prestigious medical journal called The Lancet. And the researchers that wrote that article have come to the determination that fluoride is a neurotoxicant. And cites 27 studies that they say have shown an average of a 7% reduction in children's IQ that are drinkers of fluoridated water. So that seems pretty significant. You know, main reason they took lead out of gasoline, I think, was because of lowered IQ in children, leading to lowered IQ in adults. So some of the things they cite in that study are that as they call it a neurotoxicant, it is especially damaging to unborn babies, and because the blood-brain barrier is not as effective, and so it really gets into their brains while they're still in the womb. And also nursing children also have reduced amount of protection in the barrier in their brains. So I think it's long overdue that we just get rid of that stuff out of our water. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew Laws. That concludes our call to the public tonight. We'll go to item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $178,393.97.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $178,393.97. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda, items A through F, and I will read those. A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of Mayor and Council held on September the 6th, 2016 at 7 p.m. B, approval of the appointment of Todd Conklin to the Evergreen Cemetery Committee. C, approval of the resignation of Snooty Borwick from the Evergreen Cemetery Committee. D, approval of a park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of City Park to host for the second time the Sabado Cultural Festival on Saturday, October the 1st, 2016 from 5 p.m. till 9 p.m. E, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by the Central School Project for an event to be held at 43 Howell Avenue, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, October the 14th, 2016, and Saturday, October the 15th, 2016, from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. Lori McKenna, applicant. F, approval of a fair festival liquor license application submitted by Sonoita Vineyards, LTD, for an event to be held at City Park on Saturday, October the 8th, 2016, from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m., Lori Marie Reynolds, applicant. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through F.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items A through F. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Erdman?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, discussion and possible approval of a memorandum of understanding related to medical transport services between Copper Queen Community Hospital, Arizona Ambulance, and the City of Bisbee. We will start off with Mr. Richard Marsh, City Manager of the City of Bisbee. And we have the fire chief, Mr. Mark Bernalite, will probably add something to this as well. Well,
thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council, and thank you, everyone, for being out tonight, and thank those who are watching by cable. As you all know, that the negotiations regarding the memorandum of understanding started about 30 days ago, and me and Mr. Dixon had several meetings, and we have a few drafts that went back and forth. But I'd like to start off by saying that Mr. Dixon and the tone he set throughout this entire process showed me that Mr. Dixon, in my view, is a man who is very fair, he's very compassionate, he's very direct, and he's very thoughtful, a thoughtful man. I also want to say that Mr. Dixon immediately recognized that the reduction in transfers by the Bisbee Fire Department would have a significant adverse effect on our current annual budget. And he was determined to make sure that we had an agreement that was reasonable for the City of Bisbee, for the Arizona Ambulance, and also for the hospital. The big picture, in my mind, is that the hospital is a major private employer with over 200 employees in the City of Bisbee. And I believe that I can't quantify the value put on this enhanced relationship between the City of Bisbee, in my mind, and the hospital. But I believe that it can propel, and it also could forge us in an extraordinary positive direction that could be mutually beneficial for both the city and the hospital. I wanted to make sure I get that out the way. The next thing I'd like to do is just go over 8 major deal points that you'd find in the memorandum of understanding and some of the checks and balances that are there and the proposed effective date. The first deal point, major deal point, was that the City of Bisbee would have two-thirds of the transfers. Second was that the Arizona Ambulance would have a third of the transfers. Third, that the Copper Queen Hospital would provide $100,000 to the City of Bisbee Fire Department for a new ambulance. Fourth, that the Copper Queen Hospital would provide 2 new IV pumps for the City of Bisbee Fire Department. And 5 is that the Copper Queen Hospital would replace medical supplies to the City of Bisbee Fire Department. The 6th term, major term in the agreement, was that the Arizona Ambulance would end up dispatching all the interfacility transfers. 7, that there would be a change in the base station from Canyon Vista to Tucson Medical Center. And 8th is that the City of Bisbee and also the Arizona Ambulance has agreed to apply and seek approval from the Arizona Department of Health Services, a 30% discount for transports coming from Douglas to Bisbee and Bisbee to other facilities. Those are the main 8 highlight main deal points in this agreement. The checks and balances that are in this agreement are one where we receive quarterly reports. We have access to logs regarding the dispatching. And we also have an arbitrator that would arbitrate and mediate any differences that we may have between the parties. The proposed effective date of the contract that you have before you is October 1 of this year, 2016. Mark, I don't know where Mark is, but Mark, you want to?
Sure.
Yeah. And that's my presentation, and I don't know what the mayor, direction of the mayor would you like
to thank you, Mr. Marsh. We appreciate that very much. Mr. Brunelite and or Mr. Marsh, questions from the council? I guess I'll just start off with one. Just I already know the answer to it, but just for public consumption. The contract has a year contract, but without objection, it will just continue on after that. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilmember Sullivan.
The seventh point, could you just go over that again? That was the one all transfers would be dispatched. I don't remember that one.
Okay, what we're saying is that, and let me just start off by saying that the MOU was created and brought up due to Arizona Ambulance's ADHS hearing that they brought against the city of Bisbee, and the ADHS awarded them the favorable decision in that hearing. So based on that, this MOU only addresses interfacility transfers. It doesn't address anything to do with a 911. That keeps Bisbee keeps that intact, and there'll be no change in the emergency services. So with that said, the Copper Queen, Bisbee Fire, and Arizona Ambulance, we've all invested quite a lot into this. The hospitals made a significant financial investment with the $100,000 toward the ambulance, the two new IVs, and just one correction to Mr. Marsh's one point. They're not going to replace medical supplies. It's even a little better. They're going to replace expired medications, which saves the city a lot of money. Arizona Ambulance, they've invested in the rotation agreement, allowing Bisbee to have two-thirds of the transfers, and that was significant. So what Bisbee's invested is that we will allow Arizona Ambulance to dispatch all the transfers. So right now, if Copper Queen has a transfer, they call Bisbee PD, who dispatches the transfer to us. In the future, starting October 1st, the Copper Queen Hospital will contact Arizona Ambulance Dispatch, and then they will, in turn, if it's our turn, they will contact Bisbee PD to dispatch us. And that will allow them to keep track of all the transfers and all the times with their computer dispatch program. And then that's what we're going to review quarterly to make sure everything's up and up. And then the other investment by the Bisbee Fire Department and the city is that we will change base hospitals from Santa Vista to TMC.
Any other questions? Councilmember Hansen.
This is probably getting down into the weeds, but I was just curious. The time frame for a advanced life-saving is immediate. Does that time start when you get, for instance, if it's your transfer, when you get the call, or when it goes to Arizona Ambulance?
Good question. But in all reality, that time starts when that decision is made that patient needs to leave the hospital. So if they call Arizona Ambulance or they call Bisbee Direct, that's going to initiate a rapid response, and it's going to be the agency that is in the best position to do that.
Okay.
Any other questions? Or Councilmember Klein, Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
Okay. First of all, I do want to say that I'm glad to see that we are working things out with Copper Queen. I know it's been a long road getting to this point, and it's been a rough one at that. And I'm glad to see that we will have checks and balances in there. But the arbitrator that you mentioned, do we know who that would be? Or
yes, ma'am. Yeah. We've decided on what is his name? Is the parties appoint John Tracta of Tucson, Arizona, to serve as the arbitrator under this agreement, and it's one that all three parties agreed upon.
Okay. And then I do have a question on number 6 here on the lack of confirmation. And it does say that, you know, if they don't get a call back from either Bisbee Fire or Arizona Ambulance, that an alternative ambulance service would be utilized. Do we know who that is?
At this point in time, there is not an alternative ambulance described. In the past, when we've managed the transfers, we've been able to use Southwest Ambulance out of Tucson, or with our relationship with our neighboring fire chiefs and fire departments, we've been able to put crews together to accommodate any type of problem that might arise. But with the it would take a whole lot to exhaust all the resources that are available between the two agencies at this time. But there have been occasions, and with that, we do have contingency plans in place.
Okay, thank you.
Any Councilmember Dunn?
Just because from my education, I'm trying to understand the alphabet soup here. Certainly in the level one response, you make reference to ALS, ground ambulance, which I think stands for Advanced Life Support, and also CCT, which is cardiac care transport. Would you clarify for me the distinction there and how our ambulances compare in that regard, and likewise with Arizona ambulance?
Sure. An ALS is an advanced life support that requires a paramedic. That is generally a stable patient, but the monitoring requires a higher level of care of the paramedic, such as the patient may be on a cardiac monitor or require some type of medication. And, you know, especially from here to Tucson, a two-hour trip, there's a lot of times that care needs to be initiated by the crew. The critical care transport is usually something that we put on a helicopter. That's an unstable patient that requires continual care. Due to weather or availability of aircraft, it may be necessary for it to go by ground. Arizona Ambulance does provide a nurse car, which will allow it to take a higher level of medication than some of the medications allowed by that paramedics can take. However, Arizona Ambulance and Bisbee Fire are the only two agencies in the county that are trained in the higher level of transport medications. So with that said, we would also be able to provide critical care transport.
So both?
Both agencies can do it.
Good. I was a little bit confused in terms of, I guess, this item four. In terms of calls will be rotated, but if a particular agency is unable to handle a transfer when their term is up, the entity will lose that term.
What's basically being said is that if Arizona Ambulance or Bisbee Fire is not in a position to take the transfer when it's their turn, and the other agency can do it, that will not count against them as far as when their turn does come up. There's also going to be some special transfers that may come up as far as Arizona Ambulance is more equipped to do the long-distance transfers for the BLS Sykes to Phoenix. They're willing to do those. So if one of those were to come up while it was one of our two transfers, that would not take them out of their rotation for their next regular transfer. And the same going if for some reason all their resources are taken to out of Canyon Vista and they're not able to supply a truck to the Bisbee area and a transfer comes up when it's their turn, Bisbee would take it and would not count against our two-thirds.
Because I interpreted it just the opposite. That's what I was, the reason I'm raising the question. I read it as that you would lose your turn if you were not able to respond to a specific call.
Well, that's the way we negotiate it. We're trying not to make it a penalty.
Right. Well, that would make sense to me. That's why I was concerned when I read this. That particular paragraph that does say that you would lose your turn, and it seemed like that trading, as you just described, would be the logical thing to do. And in terms of who is best equipped to provide a particular call, respond to a particular call, and there will be some short-term.
I think that maybe the lose a turn type of phraseology is that particular transfer that they're not able to accept, you lose that one. That one goes to the agency that can perform it, but it doesn't count against your rotation down the road.
Also, in the cover letter, it makes reference to quarterly meetings, but I see there's quarterly notification of one another in terms of reports, but I didn't actually see in the memorandum of agreement the provision for quarterly meetings between all three parties.
Basically, it's saying that the Bisbee Fire, the hospital, and Arizona Ambulance will review the dispatch process 90 days after implementation, and we're going to continue that 90-day process throughout the year. And again, we're going to try not to be punitive in any of that. We would like to rectify any problems the best we can. And just if there's some repeat stuff that just can't get fixed, then it's probably the agency that can't perform that will request the change more than the other two agencies.
And that would imply what face-to-face meeting. I guess that's what I'm getting to here, rather than just informing, being informed.
Yes, we definitely will be having those.
Again, I commend you to three and development of this memorandum of agreement.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
I'm glad that you brought up the higher level of care. It's no surprise that I'm very, very proud of our guys and the fact that they do provide that higher level of care. And I know that we have one of our new paramedics in the audience, so congratulations, Mike, and we're very proud of you for finishing up and completing everything. And I understand we do have a couple of new paramedics, correct?
That's correct. And there was a time that Bisbee Fire worked almost 15 months with only three paramedics. Last year we graduated two, which brought us up to five. This year we're going to graduate three and be at eight with two in school. So our medical services program is stronger than it's been in a while and moving forward, and we're trying to secure that and keep that going.
That's great. Thank you.
Councilmember Sullivan, do you have a question?
Yes. I don't know if this is, I guess it's on topic, but where does that leave us with our memorandum with Palominas Fire?
Okay, Palominas is an intergovernmental agency agreement, mm-hmm. an IGA, and we're going to continue to have a relationship with Palominas Fire. We have automatic aid with them for fire coverage, and anytime that we would need to be backfilled or helped out with apparatus or staffing, we can still use them. Anytime their employees are under our direction, they're actually working as our employees at Bisbee Fire. And the ambulances that we share with them, it says Bisbee Fire and Palominas Fire District on them. So when they are here and operating in our CON or under our direction, they're basically our ambulances.
Any other questions? Councilmember Hansen.
I just would just like to thank the three of you for getting together and putting this together, because the real winners of this is the community. This is just absolutely wonderful, the coverage. And I know it was a lot of hard work. I want to thank Mr. Marsh for getting on this immediately. And I couldn't be happier with the way this is going. And I think this is going to bring the community together even more. So thank you very much, all three of you.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein again.
Ms. Hansen is correct. It is kind of a win-win for everybody involved. And again, you know, thank you for all of that. With this $100,000 from Copper Queen, how soon can we order an ambulance?
Well, as soon as we get this signed and passed, we should be able. There's 120 days.
Yes.
120 days, okay. And it takes about 90 to build and order an ambulance, and it is a high priority that we would like to get them very quickly.
Well, that's exciting. Thank you.
And I will add, there was $15,000 put in the budget for that purchase, so we're almost there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
Mayor. One final comment. We say three parties. Actually, there's a fourth party. I said the same, and that is Arizona Ambulance, because certainly we do appreciate very much the service that Arizona Ambulance provides this community, and work out this agreement with the four, with three parties and four individuals. So certainly would be highly commended.
Thank you for bringing that up.
I said the same thing.
Yeah.
Councilmember Sullivan.
I just wanted to publicly thank Mr. Dixon for his generosity in the deal and for negotiating and helping to heal the matters with the city of Bisbee. It has been a long time coming, and it's really great because we can do such a better job if we're working together. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I hope you recognize who it is that you have working for you.
Why don't you come up to the podium, and nobody's going to be able to hear you, especially me, probably. Mr. Jim Dixon.
I'm the administrator at the hospital, 18 years now. I feel like Methuselah. This was a real hard negotiation, and you have two good people with the chief here and Richard. And they knuckleballed me. We knuckleballed them back. And we had to bring in Arizona Ambulance. But what Joan said is exactly what's going to happen. We'll have a stronger EMS system than we have now. And we'll be able to, if the city has to reduce somewhat, pick up the difference. But the fact is the firemen have been providing superior medical care and transport. When I came here, we had to send a nurse to Tucson anytime the patient had a drip. Of course, I took the only nurse we had in our ED out and sent them on to Tucson. So Jackie started that process and that. And I feel sorry for them. The men are in the middle of this, and they're trying to do a good job. I mean, when you're using a 2007 ambulance, my God, you don't want to be the person stuck on the road on I-10. So the ambulance was offered 3 years ago, and I brought it back up again to make the deal. And I'm really looking forward to what we can do to provide better care to the community. Now, I just wanted to add one thing to plant in the city council's mind. We have offered to build you an exercise park. A year ago, we've already built one for the tune of $47,000 to $57,000 in Douglas. And my board has approved the expenditure. So I'm going to give that to Richard and do that, but we don't want it stuck in some ballpark over in San Jose. We want it where the older people can use it and that kind of stuff. So just to improve your health, but I'm really pleased with this. It's been so, the stuff in the paper over the years and the animosity and that, and Mark and Richard took all that away in a short period of time. I'm glad we can work together. It is about time. Thank you.
Mr. Dixon, thank you. Any other comments or questions from the Councilmember Hansen?
Mr. Dixon, I am really trying to get that started. I've just been a little slow about it. So I've been working with Andy, and we've run into some difficulties on our side. So.
Any other comments or questions? I'm very pleased with this MOU, and speaking on behalf of the community, I want to extend my appreciation and thank you to Mr. Dixon, the Copper Queen Hospital Board, Arizona Ambulance, the City Manager, Mr. Marsh, Fire Chief Mark Bernalite, and this is truly a step in the community coming together to benefit everyone concerned, and especially the transport patients. I'm very happy tonight. Thank you, Mr. Bernalite.
Thank you, Mayor.
No more questions or comments. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the Memorandum of Understanding related to medical transport services between Copper Queen Community Hospital, Arizona Ambulance, and the City of Bisbee.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the Memorandum of Understanding related to medical transport services between Copper Queen Community Hospital, Arizona Ambulance, and the City of Bisbee. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Item number four, discussion of possible approval of a base hospital agreement between Tucson Medical Center and Bisbee Fire Department. Once again, Mark Bernalite, Fire Chief, City of Bisbee.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, and thank you very much for passing that MOU, and therefore we come to this next point. One of the deal makers for the MOU that was just passed was that we change our base hospital from Canyon Vista Medical Center to Tucson Medical Center. We've enjoyed a great relationship with Canyon Vista for over 18 years, and they provided superior medical direction to Bisbee Fire Department. And we expect to have no less of a good agreement with TMC, and they will also provide excellent medical control to us. And the agreement is a basic agreement that's been reviewed by our attorney, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to take them at this time.
Any questions or comments from the council? Council Member Dowdy.
Why so far away for a base hospital?
Well, the distance doesn't really have a whole lot to do with it. The Copper Queen, with their generous offer of replacing our expired medications, really takes the distance factor out of it. We won't have to make any special trips to Tucson to replace those. We will not lose any of our higher level skills. We will continue to enjoy continuing education through Canyon Vista as well as TMC. And we also are going to enjoy a few other newer skills that TMC has that Canyon Vista doesn't provide. And the ones that TMC doesn't provide that Canyon Vista does, they've agreed to keep for us.
Thank you.
Council Member, Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
Okay, so then we're still on good terms with Canyon Vista.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then as far as the newer skills that you're talking about, now all of this will be provided to our guys at no charge, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, now do we have to go up there for this, or will they come down here and train at the hospital, or how is that going to work?
Douglas Fire is already under medical direction from TMC, and the pre-hospital coordinator, Don Daniels, makes monthly or bi-monthly trips down here to do the continuing education. And that's pretty much the schedule that we're on with Canyon Vista. Mm-hmm. However, there will be opportunities for us to travel up there and get some base hospital orientation to start with, as well as the continuing educations and more opportunity for expanded CEs, because we're normally getting them in 2-hour blocks to 3-hour blocks, and they do regularly put on 8-hour and 4-hour sessions up there that will help the guys continue in their recertifications.
Okay, and then this isn't going to affect our transfers to Sierra Vista, because I know some people would rather go to Sierra Vista because it's closer in terms of family, you know, and things like that. So are we still okay with that?
That's a great point, and I just would like to make it clear. There's a patient bill of rights. The patient gets to participate in their care. The hospital is very, very good at pointing out to them, you know, what's available. And it does not have anything to do with interfacility transfers. Any base hospital that we are transporting to, that receiving facility becomes a base hospital for that particular interfacility transfer. So when we transport to Canyon Vista will be the base hospital for that transport. Transport to St. Joe's, St. Mary's, UMC, Northwest, those hospitals will be the base hospital, as well as when we go to TMC, TMC will remain our base hospital. The base hospital pretty much puts out the standing orders, the administrative orders, so that we can do our level of care and do our skills and our treatment of our patients, and we will be working again, as I said, under Dr. Ottman's license.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Dixon, come on up.
Let me just stand up. You have to understand that the direction of healthcare has shifted, and the growth of the hospital has been huge. We're up, really up about 125% of what we were. And it's more logical to use Tucson Medical Center, because when you have a disaster, the big hospitals and the UMC and that are there. Also, we want to see some type of coordination with our facility in Douglas. You understand, we're like megalomania now. We're going to have an ED down there and that kind of stuff, and that's all part of visiting. And so it makes more sense. The other thing is that we are in competition with Sierra Vista. We have to tell you that.
So, and I apologize, sir. I'm going to have to interrupt. We are stepping so far outside the open meeting law right now. We really can't continue a discussion that hasn't been...
Okay.
It hasn't been placed on the agenda.
That this is necessary to keep the emergency system together. And
okay.
Have it coordinated.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Any other questions or comments from the council? No? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the base hospital agreement between Tucson Medical Center and Bisbee Fire Department.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the base hospital agreement between Tucson Medical Center and Bisbee Fire Department. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief Bernalite.
Thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate
Thank
that. Item number 5. We will now go to the city manager's report.
Oh.
I try to do it slow.
Thank you, Mayor. It caught me off guard there.
We'll do it again.
I have
item number 5, the city manager's report.
I first want to thank everyone that came out to the chat with the city manager. We had about 20 people that came out, which was great. A lot of input, a lot of ideas. And the next city manager, chat with the manager will be on October the 12th here from 9 to 10 o'clock. And we will be corresponding with everyone that showed up at the last meeting to follow up on their concerns and their questions. I also want to recognize Nina Williams, who's in the audience. Could you come up, Nina? And I had a nice little presentation Ashley put together for me to read regarding this outstanding designation that she received as a municipal clerk. And this is a very coveted designation that many around the country don't have. And so we have an exceptional person here in our presence tonight, and you have to be eligible to even be designated in that. And because of her performance and her experience, she received her designation as a certified municipal clerk, and we wanted to publicly recognize you for that and thank you for what you do for the city of Bisbee and your recognition you brought to the city of Bisbee as well. We want to thank you for that. Appreciate it. Thank the mayor and the council for the opportunity to serve. I want to thank our citizens for continuing to engage us, and I want to thank our outstanding leadership team and our staff for helping moving Bisbee forward.
Thank you. We have one council comment. Council Member Hansen.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to assure the public that the paving has continued. And I believe San Jose is completed tomorrow. He told me today, so, you know. Okay. And then we'll continue on. And there is a Streets and Infrastructure committee meeting on the 29th at 6 o'clock, and we'll be looking at how that's going to plan out then from where we go next. I also wanted to recognize Paul Hidalgo, Raul, I'm sorry, I can't read my own writing, he's been working with the Streets and Streets Department for 5 years now, and he has done an absolutely wonderful job. He is really the backbone of that particular department. And I also want to recognize Mike Turan, who passed his grade 3 wastewater plant operations. And he is now the operator of record for the city of Bisbee.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.